Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Oh, my goodness.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Oh, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the Blonde Tip Bomber, as well as T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest for you. And the latest is we are live here in Cypress at Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Hey, I'm watching pregame right now, Notre Dame, Penn State. They've got TVs all over the place. You can watch it here. You can have some drinks. I'm seeing the Bud Lights flowing, the drinks flowing, everything flowing around here. I see a bullet over there flowing as well.
Come on now.
And you can enjoy yourself here, watch the games. And this is a great spot to come to do it at, right here, Buffalo Wild Wings here in Cypress. So come on out. And coming up later on in this hour, you'll have a chance to win an autographed game-size football by Tank Dell. So you can win that. All you got to do, if you have not done so in here, is put your name in our raffle box. It is the white raffle box sitting right there on the table. Can't miss it. You can have a chance to win. First off, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And let's jump into this thing. As we look at the injury report, for both teams is now out for the Texans and Chargers, and there are two guys from each team that's declared out. Shaq Mason for the Texans with that knee, not a surprise. It was reported yesterday. We talked about that yesterday. He is out for this game. Joshua Palmer, the receiver, with a foot issue. He is out for this game for the Chargers. Now, the ones that are questionable for the Texans, Danico Autry, questionable. John Mechie, questionable. Christian Harris, questionable. Etienne Cotoriano is questionable. For the Chargers, J.K. Dobbins, Quentin Johnston with a thigh and illness. Their guard, Trey Pipkins, he has an oblique. He's questionable. And then a DB, Josiah Taylor, is doubtful for this game. So a lot of their guys should be ready to go. Except for the guys we mentioned, Clint. So that's the injury report. I think also not on it is important, too. Jeff Okuda, Foley Fatakasi, they should be able to go in this thing with no designation.
Well, that's the thing there. Let's talk about the good news, right? The what we do know is Foley Fatakasi being inserted into this line, this defense, along with Azeez Al-Shaair. Those are two guys that I think really make an impact in the sense of shoring up that interior defense that we saw get gutted against Baltimore, right? I mean, that's two guys that legitimately, there's a bunch of things you can throw at it, a bunch of band-aids you can put on it, but Foley Fatakasi and Azeez Al-Shaair being in that middle, that means something. That means there's going to be a different product, should be a different, significantly different product than what we watched against the Baltimore Ravens, where both of those guys were out. And then you mentioned Jeff Okuda. I think the key with Jeff Okuda is less about him and more about his availability, meaning that they can now move Derek Stingley around. They can now move Kamari Lassiter around. With Ladd McConkey being that true slot, and probably the best true slot that they've seen all year long, they're going to have options. And if the game, I would imagine, this could happen the whole game, but I would imagine down the stretch, Derek Stingley in a critical situation in a fourth quarter type ball game, Derek Stingley could probably be put on Ladd McConkey, but it wouldn't shock me early on in the game until they see how this thing kind of unfolds if they didn't move Kamari Lassiter inside. And again, not only so he can cover Ladd McConkey, but really to get his instincts and his playmaking ability in the pass rush or in the run-stop rush. So the Jeff Okuda being healthy and being available is big because of the flexibility aspect of it, what they can do, what D'Amico can do with the cover guys at that point in time.
Yeah, because if he wasn't able to go, now you're looking at Ross And I don't know if
I don't know that they're real confident in Jeff Okudah, but we've seen enough of Ross and company that there's no way they're real confident in those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the latest there in terms of injuries. And I'd say pretty good news. Pretty good news there for the most part. Shaq Mason being out, and I've seen people on the text line say the same thing. Like, it feels like they've been getting improved play.
Yeah.
Since he's been out. And maybe it was the injury that has made him look as bad as he is. But they've gotten improved play, so it doesn't feel like that one's that big of a
Yeah, I don't think it was the injury. I'm not buying that. But any way you slice it, the reality of it is that you're not going to get worse at right guard. Right, you may not get significantly better with Juice Scruggs in terms of how young he is, but you're definitely not going to get worse. We've seen Shaq Mason be put in a turnstile. We've seen Shaq Mason really, really struggle in pass protection. We've seen him be average and below average, if we're being honest, in the run game throughout this season. This has not been a good year for Shaq Mason, and so I would be shocked if we look up and all of a sudden, you know, we're talking about, well, Juice can't play right guard. Like, I expect to get a decent level of guard play on that right side out of Juice Scruggs in replacement, you know, in place of Shaq Mason.
Yep. So that's the latest there, and we will continue to take a look at maybe what we see tomorrow, some of those questionables. We'll see if that changes at all tonight.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, speaking of tonight, as we're starting to see pregame and everything, Drew Aller is on TV warming up right now as Penn State takes on Notre Dame. And I want to play this game this way with you, Clint. Let's go. If Penn State wins, if what happens?
Ooh, that's a good one. Penn State wins if... I don't want to do something as simple as run it well, because I think if memory serves me well, Notre Dame's run defense is the weaker unit of the two in terms of against the run. So I'd say they run it well, but I think the way they win this game, I think the difference is Drew Aller. So I'll say if Drew Aller lights it up, I need 200 plus out of Drew Aller tonight.
Yeah, yeah, he has to light it up. They've run it pretty well, and at least early in games he's had to do it. The last two games, as you said, man. They have gotten out to pretty good leads early, and Drew Aller hasn't had to, you know, go. It hasn't really been put in his hands. They've been able to play and control the game from the route that they wanted to. They've played it how they've wanted at their pace, right? We're going to throw when we want to, and it's never been a spot of. Because I think Oregon put them in this situation when they played them in the Big Ten championship game. Oregon got out to a big lead where Drew Aller, the ball had to be put in his hand. And I'll be honest, he played pretty well in that game, right? He put points up on the board. Now, after what we saw Ohio State do to Oregon, maybe that was something that Oregon was inclined to do. But if they can continue to keep this thing to me in a game where they are dictating everything, they are dictating when they want to roll. I feel like that is the best shot for them to win. All right, let's swing it over to Notre Dame. Notre Dame wins tonight if...
Whew. I mean, I hate to keep going back to the quarterback play, but I think if they can get Riley Leonard effective with his legs the way that he is, I think the higher lower on underdog on his legs is 48, 49 yards. If he can get you 50-plus, then I think Penn State's going to be in a tough spot. And I'm talking about on the ground.
Yeah.
I don't expect him to spin it all over the park. You know, I think when it's all said and done, I think he can run them to victory. But I will say this. You look up at what the Boise State quarterback was able to do against Penn State. He threw for over 300 yards against Penn State. There's obviously some – now, he was playing catch-up the whole time. And, you know, so maybe that had something to do with it. But I'll tell you what, I'll switch it up. I'll go if Riley Leonard can give you 250 total, rushing and passing.
Yeah, I'm mine is with Riley too,
mm-hmm.
but he's got to throw the football well. At least give them a situation in which they can't just sit there and sit on his legs. I don't think he can go for 90 throw for 90 yards in this game, because I would imagine Penn State is sitting and saying, all right, man, we're going to close up gaps. We're not going to let him run the football and get us. Because I'll be honest, Notre Dame's offense did not play well against Georgia. Georgia, that game wasn't that close, but they were helped out with a punt return. They were helped out with a strip sack inside the 20-yard line immediately in the red zone, and they got right in on a good throw he made to give them a touchdown. They were helped big time. Now, their defense was nasty against Georgia. But to me, he's going to have to do more, because I think Penn State, we're going to make you throw the football. We're not going to sit here and let you just run. Now, that's when in the fourth quarter, that was the crazy part, is that Georgia's D-line and their defense couldn't get them off the field because he just kept running the football and getting first downs. I don't think they can do that against Penn State just repeatedly. He's gonna have to hurt them with his arm at time tonight. So, to me, Riley Leonard can't just run the football tonight. He is going to have to make some throws in this game.
Well, look, we've seen, like I said, Penn State last week, I mean, the Boise State quarterback went for 300-plus, so they can get got in the pass game. There's no doubt about that. And, I look at the weapons that he doesn't have offensively. That's going to be for me, both of these teams struggle in the pass catching department, with the exception of Tyler Warren, the big tight end at Penn State. I think both of them, the explosive weapons on the offenses, I think leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah, and they said their running back Love is going to be able to go for Notre Dame tonight. He had gotten injured a little bit in that Georgia game. They said he's good to go, so we'll see. Notre Dame, Penn State tonight, a big one to get to the national championship game in Atlanta.
5 o'clock fire.
By the way, T. Mills' best bets, he's got bets. He's going to make you a little bit of money with the Orange Bowl tonight between Notre Dame and Miami.
You got any room for me, T?
No. I do.
Let's get it out
there
the way.
There he
right
is.
Now.
There he is. He may make a couple bets between now and then, but he's got me.
He may have room, but it may be limited. All right. Listen, this is a crazy story that is affecting everything, and it's made its way to sports, and that's these wildfires in L.A. And it is becoming a very scary situation. J.J. Redick, the head coach of the L.A. Lakers, his house burned down. He lost his home in this situation, and in fact, the NBA is canceling the Lakers-Hornets game tonight due to a lot of these wildfires. The Vikings and Rams game, the NFL is monitoring that situation. And that game, the contingency plan is for that to be moved to Glendale, where the Cardinals play in Arizona. So this is, like we said, obviously affecting lives bigger than sports. But now this thing has gone to a point where it's affecting sports. Kawhi Leonard, he's taking a leave of absence because I think his house, or at least his family, had to evacuate. And he is, taking some time to stay with them right now while this situation is happening. This is this thing is getting crazy and how much it's spreading throughout the area now that it's affecting these things in sports right now, where they got to cancel stuff.
Scary situation, man. I saw a bunch of the different footage on social media today, this
crazy
morning,
man.
And it just keeps coming, man. It's wild that they ain't got an answer for this yet. I mean, it's constant. They're constantly burning up over on the West Coast, and they ain't figured this thing out yet. It's wild.
No, yeah, my best friend, one of my best friends is living. He lives in L.A., and he said they haven't told him to evacuate yet. They said they don't feel like it's going to come their way. They don't have a lot of trees there, but he said obviously they're up to the minute telling people, all right, when you need to get out, you need to get out and roll. And I'm like, I don't know. They said the air is what's the real problem, is breathing the air with
fire,
all the
sucking all the
fire.
Oxygen out of there.
Yeah,
huh?
Yes, it's a tough thing.
I'm gonna tell you, I'd catch me a flight and get the hell out of there and just figure it out in a couple weeks, man.
Yeah,
or just drive east, whatever. I mean, of course, that's easy to say down here because we always deal with these damn hurricanes, and it's just one of them. Like, all right, get the kids and get what you can't replace. Get in the car and let's get the hell out of here. We'll see what's going down when we come back.
This is a guy who drove through Harvey.
Well, I didn't know Harvey was going to be what it was, man. I was coming to hang with my current wife.
Yeah, your lady at that, your girlfriend at that time.
I drove right through it. I had a detour off the highway a couple times. I was afraid the water was over the roads, but damn it, I was going to get to Lowe now.
I was going to get to her.
Now. I didn't know I was pulling into a damn one of the worst storms Houston's ever seen. Yeah. Hell.
Yeah, you.
Glad I did, though, baby. Glad I did.
There you go. All right. Coming up, remember here in just a bit, you'll have a chance to win an autographed football from Tank Dell right here at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Cypress. But coming up, Bobby Slowick spoke, and there are a couple of things he had to say that jumped out to Clint. We'll let you hear that and discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's really about the 69.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we are rolling in. Remember, just giving you a little bit of notice right here. Coming up at the end of this segment, we will be hooking somebody up with that Tank Dell football. So if you have not signed your name and put it in a raffle box, you have the next couple of minutes, about 10-12 minutes, to put your name in and give yourself a chance to win. Tyler, get that 69 ready. If you
I keep it ready, bro. That's my secret.
Man, you can kill Tyler. If you could just kept that with a straight face, that would have really sold.
I always keep the 6-9 ready, fellas.
There you go. Sell it. Yeah. For the text line, no, there are not different prizes in the white box. The same prizes come in the white box. They're all in one box. There's not a separate box where there are different prizes. Cut it out with that silliness, but your chance to win that football coming up. We'll do that after this segment ends. All right. I know Bobby Slowick is the one that all of you cannot stand, but you know you need him to come through. And it makes it really hard for many of you who can't stand him. I just was literally talking in the break to a Michigan man who is also a Texans fan. Talking about, is Bobby Slowick really going to get a head coaching job? He's fired up. You can't stand Bobby, but you know you need him, and you need him to come up big. And he spoke about a couple of things, Clint, I know that caught your ear when he spoke to the media yesterday.
Yeah. Well, Ron, look, to me, this stuff is more like you got to really dig to find some substance at this point because Bobby's out of answers. Bobby's just out of answers when it comes to what's the identity of this team.
Let's hope he's not.
What do you do well? And I'm talking about answers to the media, right? Hopefully he's got answers, football answers to the issues. But you got to dig a little bit to find the real talk from Bobby. You got to dig a little bit to find something that has a little substance so you can sink your teeth into it, if you will. And I think one of these ultimately kind of – I think it tells you what's been going on all year. I think it's him explaining what's going on all year and hopefully what's coming to an end and they're going to figure this thing out. And then the other one is I think one of the real problems that he's trying to overcome, he says in a roundabout way. So the one that explains kind of what he's been going through this year, I think is the best one.
Yeah. Let's start with the identity thing because I don't know if any of us can define what the identity is for the Houston Texans.
Neither can Bobby.
No, he can't. Maybe they have done what the Patriots and what Bill O'Brien was trying to do for years on accident, where it's just something different every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like. But here's Bobby Slowick, and this is the sixth of the 6-9. Here's Bobby Slowick on talking about the identity.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I kind of alluded to it already. Like, every year is different. You know, you can go into seasons and you think you have, like, a certain group or a certain scheme or a certain style that you think you're going to be able to go in and play and do. But it happens every year. Like, it changes and evolves as you go. And that process this year has, without a doubt, happened. And I think last year I probably found the answer faster than I have this year. But I feel like we've really gotten to a place right now where, you know, coaching staff, organization, and players all feel pretty good about where we're going.
All right.
Couple problems.
I don't know if he actually believes that, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, look, it's just the reality. What Bobby wants to say right there is, look, you start where he said, you start out and you think you got an idea of who you're going to be, which he means five-headed monster. We're going to be explosive. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to drive the football down the field. We're going to stretch the field. And that changes over time. And that definitely changed. Because you couldn't protect your quarterback, right? And you weren't going to be that. So it's changed throughout the season. And then, you know, you get a bunch of receivers hurt. So it definitely changes, like drastically changes. And again, you can't protect the quarterback. And so, you know, it's constantly changing. And this year, he did not have the ability. When he said, I found it quicker last year than I have this year, that he just hasn't had the ability all year long. Whether it was because I think he missed the mark on who this team was initially. I don't think they're ever going to be. I don't care how aggressive they thought they were going to be. I don't think they were ever going to be very good in that way. And then the injuries hit, and then the O-line couldn't protect. And so I think he's not been able to hit stride because of all of these different issues. And I think the ending there of, you know, well, I think we found it and we feel pretty good about it. You know, the rest of the way, I think that's just giving a little bit of hope to folks. I don't think they know what they found or not found.
No,
the point being is that Bobby's basically saying, hey, man, look, I thought we were going to be this team with this group of guys. Clearly we're not. Between injuries and not playing well, we're not that group. So I'm searching to find who the hell we really are and what we can do well.
Because, Clint, I think the O-line issues, which I think if you read between the lines, he's kind of mentioned that, the O-line issues have been such where – one, he thought maybe they thought they could be what they originally wanted to be, what they have their full offensive line. They thought they could be who they wanted to be when they came in. Then they could do that. And then I wonder is they felt like, all right, can we revert back to what we were last year? And then maybe they've done that all right, but not, you know, not to the point of how they were
CJ
last year.
CJ hadn't bailed them out.
Yeah. And
that's really the kicker here is I think you make a great point. I think they did adjust.
And tried to adjust to last year.
I think they adjusted in the Detroit game. That's where I always keep going back to, and the mark on the calendar when I saw a difference in what they were doing offensively. And since then, CJ has not played horrible, but he hasn't played as well as folks expected CJ to play, so he hasn't bailed him out as much. And so the product isn't as sexy as it was last year.
Yeah. No, I think they've just been in between of like, hell, man, none of this is working.
Yeah.
now we got to go to a different spot. All right, here, we gave you the six. Here's the nine on this, talking about what it is that, I mean, probably, and he said it, the most successful thing they have been and the thing you're tired of them talking about, at least some of you.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is really player-driven more than anything. I think most coaches probably approach it very much the same way, where you have – not every play is designed for an explosive, right? Now, that doesn't mean that it can't get one. We can throw a five-yard completion and transition, make someone miss and get 30, you know? But if you're specifically designing a play for an explosive, oftentimes you have that explosive thought for a certain look, and then you have other things built into the concept, whether it's run or pass, to help handle all the other stuff. And, you know, that's my job to make sure that that's relayed to the coaches, to the quarterback as a starting point, and then to the rest of the offense that, like, hey, this is what we're looking for. If we get it, this is our opportunity, and we got to hit it. And you guys got to go do what you do and go make the play. And if we don't get this look, how do we protect the play? How do we still make this a 6-7 yard game where we're playing really efficient offense and we didn't even get what we wanted, to then come back to maybe some different form of you know, a same style of scheme to try to attack a certain coverage? So I think there's a lot of layers to that. And that includes, like, even just a lot of those looks can't even get started if you don't protect well enough. You know, most of the time you're trying to attack a certain scheme, that's where it all starts. Like, how do we make sure we're good in protection? And I can tell you that's at the forefront of our mind in this game, without a doubt.
The protection piece right there at the end.
I think he said it.
Both of my points here had to do with protection, right? He talked about the protection right there at the end. I think that's Bobby Slowick getting some I don't think he is, but I think he finally got to the point, right? I was going to say he got frustrated, but he finally got to the point of like, man, if we can't protect, it don't matter what the hell we call, right? And so I think a big part of this is can the offensive line protect? And the other part is he said earlier, you know, you dial up a shot, you dial up a play to hope to get an explosive, and if you don't get the defense that you're looking for, like we've heard Bobby Slowick talk multiple times about, boy, when we get what we're looking for, we're really explosive.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of the NFL, you're not always going to get what you're looking for.
And defenses know what you're trying.
Right. So, but winning and losing is not about when you get what you're looking for, right? Winning and losing over a let's say four games in the playoffs is, hey, when it's not perfect and you don't get what you're looking for, what do you do? Right? He said protect the play, right? So, okay, do you get a 8-yard loss because your quarterback's holding the football? Or do you get an 8-yard loss because your offensive line can't protect? Do you get an 8-yard loss because the quarterback doesn't check the football down immediately, even though he didn't get the look that he wanted? Like, they've not been very good, generally speaking, protecting the quarterback, and they've not been very good protecting the play. And that starts with CJ, but they haven't been very good protecting the play as well, which is what's resulted in them being behind the chains so much. So I think Bobby Slowick did it. And they danced all around it for 10 minutes, but I think ultimately he ended up getting to his point of like, look, man, we got to protect plays, we got to protect ourselves, and the offensive line has got to protect better overall if this team's going to win ball games.
All right, as we continue here, again, we're about to hook somebody up with the Tank Dell football. We're doing that right now. So if you're in the building, you have not signed your name and put it in the raffle box, you've got maybe a minute to do so as we continue. Coming up live here from Buffalo Wild Wings here in Cypress, T-Mill's Best Bets coming up, and he's got some as we've got the Orange Bowl. We've got some basketball, and it's been a rough one. Let me just say that this thing's just not getting better.
Yes, I know.
By the day, I just wanted to be clear, but today's the day. This is the day where it comes back.
I tried to ride with his bets on underdog last night.
Yeah, somebody texted in and said they're loving the underdog.
It's great. It's great. I mean, it keeps it simple now.
No doubt
about that.
Yeah, all right, coming up, listen, we heard Bobby Slowick speaking, and I'm telling you, I'm confident. I put my name back on the line. I guaranteed on Tuesday that the Texans will win against the Chargers. But if you're trying to corner me of the thing that makes me most nervous, I'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Rock and roll, meow.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Congratulations to Luke, our latest winner. I'm not going to put his description out there. Give him a hand. Give him a hand.
Attaboy, right, Luke.
Not going to put his description out there. I don't know if Luke's supposed to be out here or not. You never know. I mean, some people out here, maybe they ain't supposed to be out here at Buffalo Wild Wings. You never know. So there he is. I'm not going to give a description of Luke.
The force that was black hat strong on. With Luke.
So we'll see. But Luke just took a sip of that beer like, I'd be whatever the hell I want to be is where I want to be. I'm running this. But no, congratulations to Luke. Congratulations to all our winners. We really appreciate everybody who took a time to come out and hang with us. Clap it up for yourselves. It's been a fun time. Shout out to our Bud Light girls as they're walking around. They will hook you up with a little drink and some other prizes and giveaways. So shout out to them. Shout out to the staff here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Bailey, give Bailey a hand. She's been a great job, as she always does. Our promo staff, Osita, who always does a great job in the building. Andy, our engineer, give them all a hand as well. It's damn. Come on, get somebody. Give Andy a damn hand, all right? And there you go. Andy has kept us on the air, kept us on YouTube and Twitch the whole time. Those of you watching us here and put it all together. So we appreciate, obviously, Tyler back at, I don't know why I almost just called that man TJ. Like, I have never called Tyler. I don't know where that was coming. Just
the greatest producer.
I almost called him TJ.
Tyler, T.
But of course, Tyler holding it down and keeping us on the air back at the station. So we always appreciate a good time. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings again tomorrow. Katy location, Football Friday. You got a chance to win. We usually 25. We got a couple of $50 gift cards from Academy Sports and Outdoors to hook you up with tomorrow at Football Friday, Buffalo Wild Wings in Katy. So come hang out with us. T-Mill's Best Bets coming up here in just a bit. But I was listening to the general manager, Nick Caserio, on with Payne and Pendergast the other day, driving the kids, or at least driving Nicholas to daycare. And he was talking about the offensive line. And I was with him. He was talking about, hey, Titus Howard stepping up and making the move to left guard. But then he started talking about Blake Fisher, the rookie. And I'll be honest, I had a thought going into him speaking about him, and I continue to have the same thought even after he got done. This was Nick Caserio talking about Blake Fisher.
Yeah, no, Blake's handled himself well. We felt, and we talked about this even going back to last spring, like when we drafted Blake, you know, we felt like we were getting, we wanted another young tackle, get another tackle in a program, because ultimately you probably need three or maybe four tackles. If you're going four deep, you know, that it's probably some extenuating circumstances, but you're probably going to need three tackles during the course of the year. You know, Blake's gone in there and done a pretty good job. He's, like most players, he's had some good plays. He's had some other plays that he can certainly fix. I think Blake is an example of a young player that has gotten experience, that has played well with his opportunities, that hopefully will have a chance to improve in the offseason. But there's a reason that we drafted him, because we felt he can go out there and play.
All right, that's him speaking about Blake Fisher, Clint. And I'll be honest with you, Blake Fisher is the number one thing that scares the hell out of me in this game for the Texans. I don't know that he has really felt this onslaught of multiple different guys that he could run up against. And they don't just play sides. Khalil Mack will line up over Laremy Tunsil. Khalil Mack will line up over him, Blake Fisher. Joey Bosa will probably be the one that lines up the most over on him, but he will. And they've got other guys as well. They've got four really good pass rushers. Not to mention, you know that's where they're going to probably try to confuse him and send Derwin James over there on him and take advantage of his youth. The one real game that I can remember where he went up, that he's able, had to go up against pretty good pass rushers was George Karlaftis, and he's not even on the level of those guys. And George Karlaftis gave him problems, was beating him right off the rip on multiple occasions, and I believe even got a sack off of Blake Fisher. Clint, this is the one, and it's so important, and as you know, it's not just on Blake, right? Like, Blake's got to step it up, but that is the thing that makes me most nervous about this game for the Texans, is that matchup over there with the rookie, who I don't think has seen this much. Or these different type of guys that can give him problems.
Yeah, look, I think it's fair. I think across the front, with the moves that have been made, the small sample size of Juice Scruggs at right guard, I think the concern, the biggest concern is definitely the rookie at right tackle, and the Texans' inability to help offensive linemen, particularly tackles, when they need it. That thus far they have not been good in that department. And you look across the ball, and like you said, you outlined it well. I mean, they've got some dudes that can cause some real problems. Some of the best defensive edge rushers, edge players in this game, you got over the last eight years, you've got two of them with the Chargers in Khalil Mack and Bosa. So, and here's the thing, is these aren't just what I think is going to be most difficult for Blake Fisher is that, yes, these guys can rush the passer, but the big thing is they are great against the run.
Yep.
In terms of the edge players, their edge players are really, really good against the run as well. And so Blake's going to have his work cut out for him, because these dudes are complete players. It's one thing if you just got a dude that, hey, this dude's just a monster pass rusher, you know, good luck, and then but he doesn't play the run with the same ferocity, if you will. These dudes find a way to do it against the run and the pass, and so he's going to have his work cut out for him on every single snap. But yeah, there's definitely a, you know, that's something to watch early on in this game. If Blake Fisher can hold his own, and or Bobby Slowick.
I was going to say, the hell with the hold his own. Like I'm not going to – I understand every time you drop back, Clint, you're not able to help him every single time.
Well, I mean, you could. If need be, you damn sure can.
I know there may be a few times where, hey, man, even if it's quick or something, you want him to hold up. But, like, Bobby, you're right. You said it a little bit as we talked about it. Bobby cannot allow Joey Bosa to just take over the game on Blake Fisher.
Yeah.
Like, he can't let that happen. The way that we've watched the Colts, we watched them do to Kenyon Green, where Kenyon Green just got benched. Can't do that. That can't happen where they just can't run offense because of that. They've got to figure out a way to chip, help, put an extra lineman in there, just sit him next to him. If it comes to that, they can't let them ruin the game.
Yeah, I think the bigger question, like obviously the issue starts with a rookie right tackle versus veteran, long in the tooth, high caliber edge players, right? That's that. But the real question for the Texans is, can Bobby Slowick and will Bobby Slowick dial up the help often enough to keep it from being a problem, number one? Number two, when he does dial it up, can Dalton Schultz give us more?
Okay.
I mean, forget about everybody else. I mean, they can put Cade Stover in the game. They can put Irv Smith in the game if they want to. But the reality of it is you got a $12 million tight end. His ass got to be better. And so can he get in there? Like, I would pay some of my own hard-earned money if I could just see Dalton Schultz just be outside the tackle. And when Blake Fisher sits back one time and makes contact, I want Dalton Schultz to just ear hole his ass. Just show me that you got a little bit of dog in you. I don't even, hell, you can miss for all I care. But I want you to aim at his ear hole, aim at his rib cage, and let that sucker know, hey, I'm gonna be here all day, baby. My man's got help today. Just one time, just show me that you'll fight. That's all I want.
I'll accept just getting in the way.
Well, he's been doing that.
I mean, getting in the way long enough to hold it.
He knows how to run up there and get in the way now.
Get in the way long enough. Coming up behind us, the Hall of Famer,
Get me started on dogs.
John McClain, we know. He'll jump on with the fellas right after that. And then Area 45 comes up behind that. All right, Tyler, let's get your best bets as you have struggled all week. Let's just be honest.
That's one way to say it.
I just saying 2-for-6 on Monday, 2-for-5 on Tuesday, and yesterday 2-for-6, but today changes. It's Thursday.
You're
football.
Damn every, right.
Every day we've got big time football until Tuesday. What's your best bets today?
We got an Orange Bowl flavor for best bets on a Thursday. Going to go with this college football game tonight between the Irish and the Nittany Lions. Penn State, Notre Dame. I got three best bets for you in this game. First off, by far my favorite one, Penn State +2. I actually have one as well on the money line. If you can find a good money line, some good money line odds on Penn State, I think they're winning this football game. Next, I'm on the under for this game. Whenever I placed my bet, it was at 45 points, under 45. And then one more, it's a first half bet. Penn State scores over 9.5 points in the first half tonight against the Irish. Book it. Let's go 3-for-3. Get some money back.
I get up, count down there, champ. I get
the energy was great. The message did
trailed off a little bit. Trailed off a little bit, but the under 45 I love.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame and their defense, especially, they just play games where they choke the clock down. So, of all of those, that is absolutely my favorite. I think Notre Dame wins tonight, but that one's absolutely my favorite.
I like Penn State so much tonight that I'm scared to bet it.
You want me to place a bet for you, bro?
I'm good. I'll call you later.
Come on, man. I got room.
Hey, you better call him later, and you better stay on him, because you know when you don't do it right now, like he's got 1,000 things he's doing back there. It may slip his mind. That's all right. You think on it. I don't want you to spend your money. Coming up behind us, McClain, the general, will join Texans All Access. Area 45, Bajani Creighton and Chris Santiago coming up behind us. Tomorrow, again, we are at Buffalo Wild Wings. And, Katie, come hang out with us on a little Football Friday. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
I asked Tyler a little late. I said, hey, man, you got these clips for me? And I look down. It's Bobby Slowick 6 and Bobby Slowick 9. He said 69. I got it for you.
Now that made me football horny.
Hey, if I'd have realized the numbers, right there, there's no doubt about it that that T would have had this thing ready.
Y'all big 69 guys?
Huge, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Competition to me,
like a bunch of human puzzle pieces. Yep.
Who's gonna quit first? Who's gonna tap
out? Do you prefer
first?
To be inverted or like?
But anyway,
horizontal.
Shout out to Shaq Mason.
I smell sex and candy. Yeah.